Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
All right. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. There we go. Spring's right around the corner. Hang on. Here at Neighbors of Hope, during our men's group, our daily study time, we've been journeying through the Gospel of Mark. Well, I thought maybe we'd break away from Mark for today and kind of focus on a biblical image of fasting that we find from the prophet Isaiah. Lent, this being the second Sunday of Lent, is usually a time where we think about prayer, fasting, almsgiving as spiritual disciplines that deepen our connectedness to God. All right, so I'd like to have us read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 3 through 12. So, Richard, would you be so kind as to read that for us?
Sure. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please, and you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves. It is only for bowing one's head like in need and for lying in sackcloth and ashes. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable in the Lord? It is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen. Loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. Set your oppressed free and break every yoke. It is not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like that dawn, and on your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your near guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and a malicious talk, and if you spread yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched hand, and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail, for people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the age-old fountains. You will be called repair of the broken walls, restore of the streets with a dwelling.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. There's a lot in there. What's your first impressions? What jumps out at you? What's something you'd like to share?
The fact that, like, when he said, do not turn away from the poor, clothe the naked, something about feeding them with water and shelter, and I was like, that makes sense because I would never want to turn away from something good, but sometimes I don't walk away from bad stuff either. You know, I'm still willing to challenge myself, even in the moment of scrutiny.
Right.
You know, so I still want to know what's the point behind it all, because you never know what you need till you need it. That's why I have to turn the cheek. Sometimes I think things might seem absurd, but I'm like, it's not me.
Right.
I didn't do anything. But I know that they respect me. And when I do fall short and I fail myself, they're disappointed in me. So in a sense, it's a community effort to help everyone.
And
especially the young.
Yep, and I think that community effort is precisely what Isaiah's talking about. So.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it's really easy when you're kind of just thinking about yourself, just to think about yourself. There was a psychologist by the name of Maslow that really says, think about your own needs first, your physical needs and your safety needs, and work your way up. And then at the top, I think he called it transcendence, where you start helping other people. And I think God and Christ calls us to be thinking about everybody, no matter what your situation is. Even if you're going through hard times, you can still be help others and think others first, because it says share bread. It doesn't say share your steak.
Right.
It's just share bread, you know. So I think that's important, to think you can be of help to
but
your fellow brothers and sisters right off the bat.
And if bread is your steak,
right,
share it.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
If that's all you have, share it.
Sure.
Right?
I'm not really sure that they had steak in the first century, but anyways, fasting's not as important as concern for the poor. But really quick, back in the time, this is around 587 BC, fasting was only required on the Day of Atonement each year. But then after the defeat of Jerusalem, other fast days were instituted. But back in those days, the poor, well, that we talk about, they're talking about the poor in heart, right? In spirit, not necessarily monetary or what?
He gives some economical images of poverty. All right, you don't have enough money to buy food. All right, you lack the resources. You don't have a place to live.
All right.
You don't even have clothes. But he does make it a broader brush when he talks about, look at, you need to loosen the yokes of oppression.
Yokes of oppression. He said that too.
Yeah. So those systems. The paradigm structures, you call them rules, laws, whatever, that really cause people the inability to have access to the resources they need to have the life God intended them to have.
Okay.
Do we really think these rules, these systems are more important? Right, obedience to the system, if it causes hunger, is... We think that's the right system that God wanted, God's creation, to be hungry?
Right, no.
All right, these type of things, right? So you need to change those things. The propositional component, then, of the little prophecy from Isaiah is, when you do those, then I will shine my light on you. All right? It's almost as if God's saying, you can go through all this religious activity, even on the Day of Atonement or any other day, all right? And here we are at a season of Lent, you know, for Christians. But if you're just going to be self-centered, if you're going to continue to advance systems at the and not be aware that there are people in your community who are hungry, people in your community who are homeless, people in your community who, right, they may not be running around naked, but they don't have access to certain resources to have the fullness of life that God, then shame on you. God would say, don't expect me to accept that fast from you if you don't have concern for the others. Because ultimately what we'll see in Jesus, love God, love neighbor, a true religion to God is a religion where you love your neighbor. And if your neighbor is naked, clothe him. If your neighbor is hungry, feed him. If your neighbor is homeless,
Matthew,
take him in. Yes, well, that's where Jesus expounds upon that. So, yeah.
And I think, too, like, you can look at it, because, I mean, it talks right there, right, is right there between 7 and 8, that list of things that you should be doing. And then it kind of goes into, you know, not to turn away your own flesh and blood, which then reminded me to look at, like, Ephesians 6:12, which kind of talks about, for our struggle is not against the flesh and the blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. And I think that's what we're talking about, is the system that's in place, is it protecting the most vulnerable in our community? Is it serving them? And are you following the system, or do you want to follow the system that doesn't protect, that doesn't provide health insurance for our people, that doesn't provide gainful employment that allows them to take care of their children, to be able to be okay with buying their kid a candy bar in the grocery store, or choosing if they pay the rent today? I mean, we're down to like pennies that people are counting to pay bills. Why tons of people are able to sit comfortably in their homes. You know, what system do you want to follow? Do you want a system of love and care for those in the most needed, or the system that continues to gain over those people?
Bring it right straight to the 21st century. And so shame on us then if we're giving up soda pop for 40 days while this type of stuff's going on.
Right, misery.
That's what Isaiah would be saying.
Yeah.
Now, it's not to say there's anything wrong with giving up the soda pop during a season of Lent.
I know.
Okay? But not exclusively in isolation to these other community issues. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Anybody else? You got a couple minutes left.
That was like complete opposite of what I was thinking, because I was like, I was going to say something like the individual. I mean, like maybe on the latter end of what he was saying rather than a conflict of what he was saying, but like more, it seemed to me more like he's like, why have we fasted and you see not? And like we were talking before, how, you know, you get like that hunger in you, and it's not like a pain or anything like that, but it's more like a drive, you know. And that's I'm assuming what God would want you to do. So like, you know, in correlation with fasting and Lent and stuff like that, it like the whole idea of it, or the whole
ideology
practice of it, would be more like, you know, you're building a drive to appreciate the people around you and God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah, that's what
I mean. More on like the personal side, but you know.
Yeah, and the personal is important, right? Personally, we need that relationship with God. But not at the expense of the other, or else then the religion is not neighbor oriented.
Mm-hmm. Right. Dang, see, that's right. What it really boils down to.
Yeah.
Neighbor oriented.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's good to give up something fast, give something up, and you feel that kind of need or want, so you have a little bit of a connection with somebody who has that need or want 365. So it's good to feel that, but now what are you going to do? How do you put that into action? Are you going to go to a soup kitchen and volunteer? Are you going to take food to a food pantry and things like that? What are you going to do?
Yeah, and a consumer-driven culture such as ours, yeah, maybe that includes, okay, are you doing some research on those products that you're buying off of Amazon? Are they being manufactured through some sort of labor violations, let's put it that way, right? Some sort of exploitation. So maybe you fast or abstain from purchasing that product. And in doing so, you help ease the burden of somebody miles and miles and thousands of miles away, I think. Very good, gentlemen. I appreciate all of your insights. And so until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.